Hi, this is Stuart Jaffe of the Eclectic Review Podcast, and you're listening to a special feature episode of Buffy Between the Lines.
Tabitha, producer of Buffy Between the Lines, and this is our first special episode commentary on episode one. And I have with me Kevin Cummings, who plays Doc.
Hi, Tabitha.
Tasha, who plays Dawn.
Hello.
And Kim, my fantabulous co-producer. So.
Hi.
You should know Kim's voice.
Yeah, maybe. Should know Kevin's voice.
Yes, you should know Kevin's voice. You should listen to all our podcasts. And you should know Dawn's voice because she just sounds like Michelle Trachtenberg.
Stop it.
She does an amazing Dawn.
So for the commentary, I just wanted to start off with, let's give a little bit about how you got into the Buffy Between the Lines and kind of your experience with first recording and, first hearing about it and then auditioning and recording. So why don't we start with Kevin?
Thank you, Tabitha. I actually started because you popped up on the Podcast Pickle forums and you wanted podcasters to do Buffyized versions of their own podcasts. And I thought, well, okay, now that's an interesting challenge because I do a humor essay podcast at shortcomingsaudio.com. And I thought, well, okay. So I wrote up a little script, did a little humor essay from the point of a vampire, and sort of gave it to you. And you said, hey, that's a lot of fun. So I recorded, and it got put up in the feed as part of the teaser. And I thought, hey, this is really cool. I'm playing in Joss's sandbox now. You know, wow. And then you came back and you posted for auditions, and I thought, well, okay, I can do that. And I auditioned first for some sort of an English character and did it very, very badly. And not knowing, of course, that this was an international effort, so you had people who actually had English accents auditioning. And twice I was asked to audition, read for other parts and, in the style of actors, came back and said, okay, will you love me this way? And just sort of did that a couple of times and picked up a couple of roles. And it's just been wild. It's been amazing fun.
Cool. And Dawn?
Well, I first heard about Buffy Between the Lines on this Buffy forum because I just started really getting into Buffy. I was totally hyped on the stuff. So I heard about it in this thread made by a good friend of mine about the auditions. And at first I was like, oh, psh, I couldn't do this. I'm not cut out for that sort of thing. But because I was so obsessed with Buffy at the time, and I still am, I decided to try out. So I looked at all the auditions and I tried to see who I could do well as, and I was looking through all the girls, and I'm like, well, if I'm going to play any of the girls, might as well play the teenager one. So I tried out for Dawn, and it was really interesting. I was a crazy perfectionist with it. I watched the episodes and, tried to get her voice down, exactly, because, if I'm going to try out, I might as well give it my all. So I sent it in, and I don't know, it was really exciting. I honestly wasn't expecting anything because I gave it a shot, but I wasn't really sure if I was cut out for it. And afterward, I went on vacation, and the whole time, I knew I was supposed to get the results for casting, and the whole time, I got limited internet connection, so I was flipping out on the shortage of the internet, and I was going crazy, wanting to check the results, and I finally read them, and I was just totally excited and happy, and I couldn't wait to get home and start recording, and basically that's how it all happened.
That's cool. And you know kind of how Kim and I
yeah.
got it. Hopefully.
Well, I don't know that everybody listening knows, though. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about it. I just have a hard time imagining you got up one morning and said, I think we're going to write effectively a season of a show that's well loved, and see if we can get a cast together across the planet and womp something up.
Well, it kind of came like that. It was kind of like that. I was listening to Firefly Old Wounds, which all of you listening out in podcast land should listen to. It is amazing. It took me a long time to get into it because I was one of those people who was like, oh, it's not the original cast and it doesn't sound right and I can't get these new voices in my head. But as soon as I just said, oh, I just need to sit down and do it, I loved it. And I was like, oh man, we have to do something like this for Buffy. And I was like, okay, yeah, like we have that much time, or like anybody would be really interested. And so I just threw it out there in LiveJournal, in my LiveJournal, and said, would anybody be interested in doing this crazy idea that I had? And I got so many responses, and Emma's actually posted it in the forums. If you go to our forums, she has the link to that original post. And a bunch of people responded, so it's all gone crazy from there.
Yep. Yeah, and from that point, I mean, I had actually commented on hers saying, yeah, I'd totally be interested in these things. And I was interested in pretty much any of it, I think, except for maybe the sound editing. I can't remember.
You said everything but writing.
Oh, everything but writing.
And
oh,
you
okay,
wound
good.
Up writing anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway. And then she wrote back and she's like, oh, I already emailed you. And so, and she asked if I would, be assistant producer. And so I said, oh, what the heck? And, started doing it from there. And then, the writing just, it was immense because we had lots of writers and that, I mean, we started that in April mm-hmm. and just going through the writing process and the editing and whatnot. Tabitha was really bogged down with all of that stuff and just helping. Gosh, it was just a lot of work. And so
plus
at that
I was
point,
moving.
Yeah, and she was moving. It was craziness. So I said, you know what? Why don't I help out and start organizing all of the audition stuff? And so I put together like all the dialogue pieces and a variety of the other things that we knew we were going to want. We knew it was going to be between seasons 5 and 6. And so I looked for stuff that would sort of display actors' talents that in that mood and that feel. And then slapped it all together and got some help putting it up on the web. Thank you, Mike.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
Yes. And then it sort of exploded because we got so many auditions. We had, people have heard me say this before, but we had 6.5 hours worth of audio of auditions. And
to sort of put that in perspective, most of the clips were 20, 30 seconds.
Yep, pretty much, yeah. Like 3 minutes max. So I listen to every second. And I was the one who mostly emailed people saying, you know, I'm the one who emailed Kevin and said, I want you to read this part and this mm-hmm. part and this part. And it was really sort of random. It was just sort of like, if we had someone that clicked with something, then we would maybe ask them to do more for that part, or we might see if they were good for a different part. We had some people that clicked with like several parts and we needed, you know, to figure out if there was something else they were better with. We had people that just were really great in general, but we couldn't figure out which part was best for them. So it was sort of crazy. So, and sort of random as to what we were asking. And I was constantly talking to Tabitha and Valerie and Emma, and, getting feedback and, heck, and half the writers, really. I think Gwen and Paula also, I'd send clips to and say, okay, who do you think? and then certain parts I didn't really do anything with, and we sort of compiled them and sent them to be voted on by the writers. Mm-hmm. We had like 5 roles like that.
Yeah, the writers and the beta editors for the
if it was stuff that we like that people really involved in the show were auditioning for, we felt it was more fair to have the writers. Other people make those decisions. So, but yeah, it was sort of crazy, but a lot of fun and way bigger, I think, than either of us anticipated.
Right. Totally bigger than I anticipated.
But you've gotten great buzz on this on the web. I mean, the various Whedon fan communities have been very excited about it. The web traffic's been really good. We hope.
True. We have actually gotten a tiny bit of negative feedback once.
Gasp.
Yeah.
We are hunting you down. We're sending Nick Edwards, who is our Spike, to suck your blood.
Yeah. I never heard it, but Tabitha did. Somebody did tell us about it. But yeah, in general, it's been really very positive. People are very excited. And really, we have phenomenal actors. Yes. We have phenomenal writers.
Yes.
It's been a huge blessing, the talent we've got.
And we've got a great street team on LiveJournal. That's that true. We give them assignments and they go out and spam the interwebs. Not spam,
yes.
But... Which is probably how Don found out about it. It's probably Rachel went out and posted.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, in fact, Don, Rachel actually was, you need to thank her because we hadn't heard from you. And she was like, she wants the part. I know she wants the part.
Aww. I love Rachel
so much.
She's
on vacation.
Yeah, she was like, she's on vacation. Yeah, so it was good. We were reluctant to make any moves really at that point, but we were like, where is she?
I was across the ocean. Definitely wanting the part of Dawn.
So, well...
Believe me, I was hyper.
Well, maybe on that note, Tasha, if I can kind of jump in, obviously at this point I've heard the first episode, and I'm not telling anyone that because I don't want them coming and stealing my computer or something. Because while we're recording this, of course, it hasn't been released yet. But Tasha, you know, you did such a marvelous job with the role. Do you have previous acting experience?
Oh, none at all, honestly. I don't know. I've always been fascinated with acting, and I've always wanted to do something with it, but I've never acted on it, like, ever. Like the only thing I've seriously auditioned for before was, like, this, like, silly eighth grade play as, like, this detective, but I didn't get the role because I wanted a guy, but... I don't know. It always seemed interesting to me.
Huh? Typecasting. Detectives as guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly, exactly. And I don't know. I've always thought that I'd do an okay job at acting, but I really haven't acted upon it before. Until now, at least. So I'm very happy about that, because I'm finally actually doing something with it. So, yay.
So,
just from my perspective, Don, and I'm cutting into... to Kevin here, but you have done a phenomenal job, especially with this episode, because so much of it is dealing with Buffy's death and grieving, and that's really hard place to go, especially in a first episode. I was thinking about that. I was like, oh man, I've got everybody doing the hardest thing right out of the block is being sad.
Well, it's necessary.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly. Well, and I was going to say to bounce off that, Don, the other thing that's phenomenal about the way Tasha handles the part is that she really is sort of inside Dawn's head. I don't think, like, my reaction to grief and, like, my interpretation of how most people would deal with grief is so different from the way Dawn would deal with grief. And it's been, like, it's so impressive to hear, you know, and it was true if you listened to the other Dawn auditions in general, like, there was a lot of sobbing and tragic, oh, poor me sort of thing, but Tasha managed to play her as angry, which is the way Dawn was. And so it was really, you know, and she carried it through into this episode, I think.
Oh, I'm glad. I just try to be like Dawn. That's all I can say, I guess.
Perfect.
I think that's the...
I'm not very articulate.
I think that's the essence of acting, is actually to try to be like the character you're playing, so... What, now, you hadn't acted before. Had you done any computer recording before, or had any of you done any of this kind of thing before? Were you all kind of learning from the ground up?
I've played around before. I guess I kind of liked experimenting with my voice. Like, sometimes I would just, like, sing ridiculous, like, high-pitched songs into a microphone and see, like, how I did. And little things like that, mostly for recreational purposes and for my own entertainment, at least. That's about it.
And Kim and I both podcast, but there's a funny story. I hate the sound of my own voice, and I have for a long time. But I really wanted to get into the podcasting thing, and I get emails all the time like, Tabs, you have an awesome voice. And I'm like, no, I don't. Stop.
Well, believe the emails. They're telling you the truth.
Kelly, are temporal communication lines open?
Establishing temporal communication now. Temporal communications are now open to 2007, to something called a podcast.
A podcast? What is that?
According to historic records, they were the main form of entertainment and news distributed via the internet for most of the 21st century.
People of Earth, there are important facts you must know about the future to make sure things do not occur. We will shortly be establishing voice records of our adventures to discover the truth.
Captain Harvey, they are locking in on our temporal transmission.
Okay, I don't have much time. You will be able to find our transmissions shortly at www.thebearcast.com/show/Harvey.
They found...
So, okay, let me kind of pick up where we left off there. What sort of equipment is everybody using? Just for, you know, kind of the geek factor, what are you recording with?
Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, sorry. But I started out with this really crappy headset microphone, but that didn't work out, so I got this new one. And for, like, it came out all fuzzy, so I had to get a pop filter. And at first, I swear, I used the sock. I just got this sock and, like, stretch it out in front of the microphone. And I found out that was a little awkward looking, but I'm greatly attached to my magical recording sock. But now I have a hanger, and I have stretched over a striped, like, these striped stockings that I never use over a clothes hanger, and I kind of prop it up with something and put it in front of the microphone, but it works, so yay.
Nice.
An embroidery hoop works well too.
Yeah, I should do that.
if you really want to go upscale.
Yes, I should. I got to upgrade from my sock.
And you're using Audacity, right, Don?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. And I have a MacBook with a USB mic and GarageBand. It sounds fancier than it really is.
Yeah, I use Audacity, and I just have a flat-up desktop with... I bought a nice headset when I started my podcast, so it's a pretty decent mic.
And Kevin, what do you have?
Well, for the record, because, you know, I've got this whole audio geek thing going on, I've got this nice little Nady condenser mic, and I've got a little tabletop mixer, and I've got an M-Audio A to D converter, and I use Sony software to actually do my editing. But that's because I don't do anything without overkill.
Oh, that works. Set up. I feel bad. With my primitive recording tools.
Yeah, see, and like, I hardly understand the lingo, but I have been editing my brains out with this project. So, you know, gotta wing it.
What would you say is the toughest part about editing?
Getting all the sounds to match, getting all the people to sound the same, like they're in the same place. Oh. That is by far the hardest thing, because some people sound like they're in an echoey room, and other people sound like they're just like on another planet. We flat out had to ask, I think, two people.
Well, Don was one of them.
Yeah, Don was one. I know. Yeah. I was about to say I was guilty of that.
Yeah, to re-record the entire episode one, which, you know, and it worked out great, but that has absolutely been the hardest thing, and there's lots of tricks to it. But man, sometimes you just have to close your eyes and go, oh, well, we'll just pretend that works.
Oh, no. Oh, crap, the phone's ringing. Hold on.
No, see, it happens to everyone.
Now, another thing that has been sort of made extensive use of in this production is Skype. I got to do my big scene with Spike you know, in a three-way transatlantic, transcontinental Skype call, which, you know, I was sure we were doing this, and I'm thinking, this is the stuff of science fiction. You know, 10 years ago, the idea of sitting in your home and doing this kind of recording was just, you know, completely unheard of. You'd be talking studio time and ISDN lines and all those sorts of things, and it just, you know, it just sort of blows my mind what sort of enthusiastic amateurs can do.
Yeah, when we did that, because it was you and me and Spike, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that, and I was just like, you know what? There's no way we could do this without the technology we have and without Skype and totally. Without Google Groups and Gmail
Audacity
and, you know, the ability to pick up a nice microphone for not a lot of money, and have actors literally across the globe. And have websites to tell people what time zone they're in.
Yeah, now you are actually flying us all together for the premiere, right?
Right. Yes.
That was in the budget.
Coming to LA. Oh,
good, red good, carpet good. With the limos. And
but you know, you talk about the technology and stuff, and one of the things that I've noticed about the project is that there was a lot of thought put into it and a lot of work done up front. I mean, it's, you know, there are dramas, audio dramas and fan things that come out on the web where you get like half-finished fanfic, you know, what do you think of the start of my story? Well, I think I'd like to see the rest of it. And, you know, was that kind of from the beginning, did you sort of have this notion that if you were going to do it, it was worth doing right?
Yeah, I think I'm a producer at heart, and so I have experience doing independent films and things like that. And I knew that this was going to be, I didn't know how big it was going to be, but I knew it was going to be a big thing. And I didn't want to cast until we had, you know, the scripts pretty much done. And I didn't want to, you know, give people one script and go, oh, by the way, we're not going to record anything for another 6 months. So I kind of knew where I wanted to go, and thankfully, you know, it's the whole I'm standing on the shoulders of other giants. Listening to Firefly Talk Old Wounds gave me a bunch of insight, and Jack Ward gave me a bunch of insight. So I had some help getting to a good space where we are ready to go. And I knew I couldn't do it alone, so I had Kim, and then I had Val, and Val's whole job is to make sure that everything is in. That's pretty much all she does. And we told that
to... That explains the writing crop.
We told that to Scott Sigler, and his eyes, like, fell out. He's like, really? That's all she does? That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, we told him at the same time we had 100 people, and she sort of made sure that things got done, and he was like, I'm gonna steal her.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna hire her. And but literally without Kim and without Val, there's no way that this would be one of those half finished fanfic, you know, never gets touched for another 2 years thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew Val could do that because she actually was my boss, and so she did that for me for many years.
That's an interesting role reversal.
And, it is. It really is. So now I get to tell her when she needs to be yelling at other people.
Well, I have a question for you all, since I wrote the episode. What did you think when you first read the script?
Honestly, I thought... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Honestly, I thought that the people that were, you know, kind of well-connected and well-committed to the series were just going to go nuts, because you start to see stuff, and it's like seeing familiar terrain from a new perspective. Hmm. And there's this sort of sense of, I get it now, and now I know why this thing's there. I mean, it's... You know, I'm sort of curious about the research that you did, because, you know, obviously you're filling in a gap for the audience. And I'm sort of curious about, you know, were these things that you'd read about, or was this speculative, or you know, kind of, you're filling in gaps, but is this stuff that you created, and how do you get it to mesh so nicely?
I watched through the series, I think series 5, about 10 times before I actually sat down and wrote the script, because there's so many little nuggets within season 5 and within season 6 of things that the characters talk about, and The writers are amazing. You know, Birgit Fomi is one of our writers, and he just has a grasp of, like, where things are and who says what. And Emma knows the series inside and out. I can ask her anything, like, okay, so what happened with Willow? And she'll say, well, in this episode, Willow says this. And so the collaborative mixed with watching the episodes over and over again really brought out a bunch of stuff. Like, for example, the, you know, Willow's transportation spell that she uses later in our series is one that she used in season 5 to get rid of Olaf the troll. So there's
and
lots
she
of those
uses
little
it on.
No spoilers.
Oh, drat.
And dealing with Dawn and all of those things, and you know, literally we pick up right where the series left off with Buffy dead at the tower. And so it was one of those collaborative things, but it's also one of those things where I wanted to fill in those gaps. So I had to research to figure out where the gaps were, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
I'm sort of curious to hear Tasha's answer to your question.
Well,
me too.
When I first read the script, to be honest, I did get very hyped up because, like she was saying, she was filling in the gaps. And I'm like, oh my God, they have so much to work with. Like, there's so many things will be answered, like how everyone dealt with it. I felt like missing those big summers kind of like left out a lot of like needed character development that we didn't get to see. And I'm just, you know, really, I was really excited to see how everyone was going to deal with that unknown plot. And I was just like, this is real, this is exciting. And I don't know, I just thought it was really neat, and I saw a lot of potential, and I was just like, yay, script. But basically my little teenage reaction.
Well, since you mentioned it, are you a high school student still, Tasha?
Yep, I'm a sophomore.
Okay, so when this gets out, do you think it's going to give you some notoriety at school?
Honestly, I don't think so. I really haven't met any Buffy fans at my school yet, to my great disappointment. So I'm kind of just sitting in the corner being like, yay, Buffy, Buffy, Buffy. But I don't know. I really haven't met a lot of people at my school that are big into the podcast thing. And I don't know. I don't know for sure. I don't know everybody in my school, but I don't think a lot of people will really, like, are into the whole Buffy thing, but it'd be really neat if they were. I kind of want to, like, recruit Buffy fans, like, make a little stand or something, because I...
start a club.
Yeah, I need a Buffy club. I'd totally start one, because there always needs to be more Buffy fans.
True. True story.
I agree.
So, Tabitha and Kim, you mentioned talking to Scott Siegler, and that would be where that you met him?
Dragon Con.
Dragon yes. Con. So you mm-hmm. went back to do promotion. You took some CDs and stuff with you, as I recall.
I did. Yes. Well, yeah, we had shirts and CDs and business cards.
Yep.
And met a bunch of really, really cool people. So
amazing.
So what was that like?
It was insane.
Crowded. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was. The amount of exposure was awesome, but you know, almost everybody we ran across already knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
So but yeah, it was very cool, and in some ways very surreal, because we ran across people who knew who we were, and that's a little different.
It really was. We were on, and we'll talk about this. We have a Dragon Con wrap-up episode, but there's one panel Kim and I both were on, and as soon as we introduced ourselves, there was a bunch of people that gasped, pointed, and like jumped out of their seats, like, oh, it's them. So we are extremely humbled by that, because I don't think we think of ourselves as all that great, but
you don't think of yourselves as them.
Like mini celebrities, I guess.
But it's awesome, and I mean, and truthfully, like, that's the best part, is like, those people are the coolest people. Mm-hmm. So it's really neat to be able to meet those people and talk to them. I mean, it's half our cast.
Seriously.
It's like the, you know, just fun people.
I wish I could have gone.
Next year, everyone should go next year.
I know.
Yes.
So what was your favorite part so far to record as for your character?
Well, for me, sorry, go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead.
Okay, thank you. But I really like playing the silly parts, like where Dawn, you know, makes like her little like inappropriate jokes about like, oh crap, this is for a future episode, so I guess I shouldn't say it. But I really like the lighthearted moments with Dawn because she gets moody sometimes, and it's, you know, it's nice to like portray her happy side because it's really fun being bubbly, and I'm just very happy to act that out. So yay.
Well, I, you know, I sort of have the one big scene with Spike, so I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah.
It's just fun to be a part of this project. I mean, just to have the opportunity to be here. Now, I haven't heard all the stuff that you've recorded, Tasha, but I have to say I really liked your performance in the cemetery.
Thank you.
Yeah. That cemetery scene, I think, was my favorite. And for me recording. For me recording, just the, you know, Anya being Anya, I think is just, I know I wrote it, but just recording it and going, man, this is Anya, this is what Anya would say, and this is how Anya would feel, like, please, everybody, talk. Don't
I
just
like
stand here,
lot.
Isn't that what we do? Yeah, yeah. So.
And I got to help out with a piece of that scene, and every time I hear bits of that funeral scene, I like want to cry because so well done.
Yeah, Kim wrote Spike's little bit after Giles leaves, and because I was like, you know, I really need help with this. I don't really have tender Spike down. I don't really have a good tender Spike voice. And she wrote that. And I was like, this is awesome. And then to hear Nick say it, it was just like, oh my gosh, this is really awesome.
Like, the whole episode was great. Like, even just like hearing Spike cry at the beginning while everyone was talking was just like crazy awesome. I was like, oh my god, this actually sounds like an episode. It made me so happy.
Yeah, Nick did a really good job with that opening scene, and he kind of playfully made fun of us for making him cry, but he did really well.
He did a great job.
Indeed.
Nick absolutely was awesome. But I really, that whole funeral scene, sort of became the heart of the episode, because it you know, you talked, Tabitha, about having everybody do the hard part first, but really you couldn't tell the story between the seasons if you didn't start there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I went to a weird place when I was writing it. I have dealt so much with death in my own life that grief and how people grieve is really important to me, and I wanted to portray it in a way that said, look, there's everybody deals with grief differently. And I was just hoping, up against all hopes, that would work for the funeral scene. And then when I got it back from the beta readers, and they all of them commented that was their favorite scene, was the funeral. And I was like, this is really not a huge scene to me, but apparently it became really huge to everybody else. So I was very happy about that.
Yeah, and I was nervous about the editing of it, and Tabitha took over that, and it was beautiful. So well done. I think that it really, just the things that she did really captured the whole feel.
Thank you.
So.
Any closing thoughts while we wrap this up? Closing thoughts, Kim? Or Kevin?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, keep listening.
Yeah, that
keep
was
coming
I was
back,
gonna say.
Keep hitting the feed,
exactly.
Keep listening.
Stick around for episode 2.
Yeah, I think episode 2 has some of my favorite Xander lines, and we didn't even talk about Xander.
Oh, God, Xander.
Yes.
Don't get me started on Xander.
It's amazing.
But everyone just did a fantastic job for episode 1. When I heard the final edit, I haven't heard the music yet, but I'm sure it's going to rock my socks off. But when I heard the final edit, I was just so happy. Because, you know, you get to that point where you're creating something where you're like, okay, this is really going to suck. And this sucks because I've read it so many times, or I've heard it so many times. But then when I heard the final edit together, and everybody's voices and the level of quality and professionalism with everybody's acting, I was just blown away. I was like, okay, Kim, we all rock, you know?
Yeah.
And then to add in the Beatnik Turtles theme song, which those guys rocked the house with that, I was more than happy with what they gave us to get the flavor of the TV series and not just be like Nerf Herder version 2.0. I'm so thrilled, and I'm so excited that you guys who are listening, and feel free to give us feedback and love. We're all on the forums, so if you want to talk to us, forums.buffybetweenthelines.com, or you can email us, buffybetweenthelines@gmail.com, and all of us would be happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
Cash donations also gladly accepted.
No.
No, I'm kidding. It is totally a labor of love.
We will not make money off of Joss's work. Sorry. Unless you want me to email it to him. Dear Joss, here's $5.
And then, you know, somebody would say, oh, no, it's 20th Century Fox or something.
Yeah, exactly. We'd have to divide it equally among the shareholders of Mutant Enemy. And
you get 2 cents. You get 2 cents.
But thank you, Kevin and Tasha and Kim.
And Tabitha.
Thank you.
This episode was produced and edited by Tabitha Grace Smith. Theme song for Buffy Between the Lines by the band Beatnik Turtle. Visit them at beatnikturtle.com. End music is Stark Love by the band Mercy Machine, brought to you by magnatune.com. Visit the band's website at mercymachine.com. Our cast for this episode consists of Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard as the announcer, Tabitha Grace Smith, who plays Anya, Tasha, who plays Dawn, Kevin Cummings, who plays Doc, and Kim Butler, who plays the Buffy Bot. All characters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel are copyrighted by Joss Whedon, Mutant Enemy, and their respective copyright owners. This podcast is purely for entertainment purposes and parody purposes only. Buffy Between the Lines is a combined international effort and not affiliated in any way with Joss Whedon. Stay tuned for our next episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at buffybetweenthelines@gmail.com or call our voicemail at 206-495-6560. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review at iTunes, Podcast Pickle, or Podcast Alley.
Ready to rock and roll on your command, O Captain.